And a good Tuesday, everybody. Welcome in. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game. He is Big Joe Dubin. I'm Chase McCabe. Dr. Crane, Nick Frazier on the ones and twos after doing a great job on Next Man Up. Hope you're having a wonderful day. JoJo, what's up?
Next Man Up is us right now. So thank you, Jake and Nick.
Yeah, that's Nick.
Let us have it, and then we move forward right now. I'm trying to get the TV to work. You know, the problem with America now is we have one, two, three. There's five remotes in here for two TVs, and it drives me insane.
And not a one of them turns you off.
Right. But they turn me on.
Oh, hello. Boy. Hey, oh, it's a family show, you know. But
it
anyway, excited to be here. Tim Hasselbeck going to join us at 1 o'clock today. Mike Borgonzi spoke to the media today. And, you know, you'll hear some clips and us talk about that. You didn't hear any of it. So this will be kind of new to you, which will be good.
Good.
I could be setting myself up for another Titans misery and failure, but he doesn't say a whole lot, and I'm good with that. He seems like he knows what he's doing.
I listened to a brief part of it, and after about you give me 40 ums, I'm out.
Yeah.
I'm out. I'm out. I'm done. See ya, 40 of them. So anyway, I haven't listened to 98% of it, so I'm excited to hear what he had to say and going forward. And look, I think things are moving the right direction now. I think the clarification came out on Friday. I think she reached out, or somebody got to her and said, what's our perception across the league? And somebody said, nobody knows who's in control.
Right.
Boom. Now you know who's in control, and I like it.
Yeah. We know who's making the hire, who's picking the players. I mean, the thing is, I think they wanted to cover up who to blame because they realized how convoluted this whole thing was.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, we know it's Mike Borgonzi. And so the clock officially begins. If he gets this wrong, then he'll join Rand Carthon and John Robinson.
Right.
The unemployment line.
Who was it Rustin before John Robinson?
Yes.
I told you my Rustin story. Real quick story. At a Vanderbilt football game in 2013 or 14, he's sitting next to me in the Vanderbilt press box in that second tier, and he looks at me and says, hey, who do you like down there? And I'm like, you're asking me? You're asking me? I like them all because college football. I was like, oh, my God, the Titans are in a bad situation.
Did you give him an answer?
I did. I forget who Vanderbilt was playing. Might have been like Missouri, I think, in that day. And like,
drafted a player that you recommended?
Then I need to be GM.
That would be hilarious.
Then I need to be the GM of the Titans right now. I told you. We told our good friend Ricky he should apply for that job because he's had a pretty good fantasy football career.
Yeah.
I've had a really good – I stopped doing fantasy football because mentally I couldn't take it anymore. But in like my 27 years, I went to the playoffs 20 times.
Yeah.
Now, cool. Top that, right? And I went to 7 championship games and I won 3 of them.
I've won 8 Super Bowls on Madden.
Why can't we co-GM?
Yeah, I could do it.
It's like co-parenting.
Yeah, we could do it.
Yeah.
Now, I mean, look, I fleeced the Jets and got a first-round pick for Will Levis. So.
Why aren't they calling you? Hear this on the radio, I'm thinking, how did Chase pull this off?
Yeah,
and I'd call you up.
Yeah. Hang on. Yeah, I'll give you a good idea.
Who's on the – is it Borgonzi? Hey, no. Dr. Crane, is that annoying? Should I stop that?
No, you just sound like the Fonz.
Hey. You know, I met Henry Winkler one time years ago. And he's like 5'2".
Let me pick that name up for you.
And I don't think you guys weren't born, but he might be the most iconic TV character of all time. And he was so popular, and we all had the lunch boxes. And I'm thinking, this guy is so – he's like Stallone short, like Tom Cruise small. He's tiny.
Yeah.
Tiny guy.
So he spoke today, and I like the answers that he gave. And obviously with the offseason, the coaching search is going to be the top priority. I think it was pretty clear, and he did, you know, what was kind of funny is it was a little weird at the beginning. I guess the power went out, and so it kind of threw things off a little bit. But I think it was Corey asked about Mike McCoy and if there was a role for him, and he didn't say no, but he kind of said no and basically was like, but I do want to thank Mike because that was an extremely tough job.
Sure.
He was great to work with on a daily basis and did a really good job keeping this thing going. And look, he did. I mean, it's an impossible ask to go to someone that was really just a consultant and say, hey, we're firing the coach. We need you to be the coach.
Absolutely it is. It was a thankless job that he did. Did somebody ask him why you're bringing Raheem Morris? I wanted that to be asked.
I don't know. I don't think so.
That guy has as much chance getting the job as we do.
Well, the head coaching job. But could he be a defensive coordinator?
Maybe.
No.
Let the new coach pick his own staff.
Well, he will. But I think that I think the other thing that ends up happening is they interview. I mean, it happened with LaFleur. They interview some of these guys, and they realize, yeah, we're not going to go in that direction for head coach. But then, you know, hey, maybe it works for coordinator. But I agree with you. The head coach needs to pick his own staff.
If it doesn't work, man.
If McCarthy or Nagy or LaFleur or not LaFleur, well, maybe LaFleur if he's available. But anybody comes in here and they're like, hey, I want to keep some of these guys from the previous staff. Fine.
Yeah. I always wondered why, you know, when Vrabel interviewed for the job, it was Steve Wilks and it was Matt LaFleur.
Correct.
And Vrabel kept LaFleur as offensive coordinator in 2018. And I was wondering, did they know each other?
I was told to.
Yeah. I think so, too, as well. And then Art took over in 19 and 20. Yeah, I think you're right on that.
That's what I think. I think he was told to.
Well, I think you're correct, pal.
So,
real quick, before we go into farther. What farther is measurable distance, further is to advance a point. Last night, the FCS National Championship game at Vanderbilt Stadium. Shout out to Scott Ramsey, Jay Grider, all the people in the National Sports Council to put that together last night. Amazing game. Vanderbilt looked beautiful on TV. You watched the game. I was there. You watched on TV.
Yep.
Great ending. So shout out to Vanderbilt, Scott Ramsey, Candace Turner, everybody involved over there. It was an amazing night in a football game that ended in overtime, a national championship game that happened. So everybody put the hard work in at Vanderbilt last night and went to the game, Sports Council people, everything. Thank you so much because you made Nashville look really good last night. Well done.
Yeah, very, very cool and glad that that Nashville was able to host that event, and they'll do so again next year.
Yes, because Frisco's undergoing some – I spent some time with Scott Ramsey, big fan of the show, by the way.
Big fan of him.
And we talked last night about all that went on, and he was just blown away by the support of Nashville because, you know what, it's not – wasn't surprised that happened. It's that it's the FCS game, but hell, half of Montana was here last night. Illinois State brought a lot of people, and downtown, I understand, the last three or four nights was just packed with people. So, well done, Nashville.
So, some interesting news coming out of the DC area. A name that has been linked to the Titans and any other head coaching job. Cliff Kingsbury looks like he is being relieved of his duties as offensive coordinator with Washington.
Okay.
So that's interesting. Looks like both coordinators in Washington are being fired.
Who's the defensive coordinator?
Witt.
Turnbow?
Yeah.
Barbecue?
Joe Witt Jr.
Joe Witt Jr.
Sounds like a blues musician down in Memphis.
That or a collision repair center. I had Joe Witt Jr. here for Witt Collision Center.
Or a lawyer.
Or a lawyer does that. I think Kingsbury probably said, look, I want to pursue head coaching jobs.
Yeah.
We'll let you go.
Yeah. This was Mike Borgonzi earlier today when asked about, you know, he knows a lot of candidates. He's worked with a lot of candidates. But what does he do with guys he doesn't know?
When it comes to those specifics about how a coach knows his personnel or how a coach holds people accountable, to follow up on TD's question about the guys you know from Kansas City, you've probably seen Matt Nagy or Steve Spagnuolo or Dave Tope, whomever, yeah, hold people accountable or set up, you know, a design based off the personnel. Mm-hmm. How do you find out those things about coaches that you haven't been around, that you don't know intimately, in just one or two job interviews?
Great question, Jared. And I think that's, you know, we've had a long runway here to do a ton of research, like I was saying. And we have connections in every building, whether they be coaches they worked with, scouts, support staff. So those research calls are invaluable for us, really. Because you're right, Jared, you go through an interview and some people are really, they're so prepared for the interview now. That's why I think the research that we do on these candidates is going to be really important, and that we have done, and we've done a ton of it.
That was Mike Borgonzi this morning. I think that everybody wants to go, or everybody thinks that the guy wants to go and get their guy, which is probably what's going to happen because he's somebody you know and you're familiar with. But I think it's smart to go through every possible candidate that you feel is a good fit for the Titans, and with the understanding that even the guy you knew, let's say Matt Nagy, he might be a good fit with the Browns. He might not be a good fit with the Titans in this personnel. And you have to have that honest conversation with yourself and with everybody that's involved in the search.
It's all conjecture. He's hiring Matt Nagy. We're just wasting time. I'm just wasting time.
He
wants to tell everybody how great I am because I know all these candidates. I can do all this and do that. He's hiring Matt Nagy. The article last week pretty much assumed that he knows good friends with him. It's done. This is all bilge. This is all water under the boat.
I think Stefanski is more of a candidate than you think he is.
He ain't getting a job, brother. You want to have this bit of lunch on it? Well, you mean right now?
I mean, I think it's Nagy too, but I'm just saying, I think that Stefanski might make him think harder about it.
I just think it looks good bringing up because it's like everybody, look how many people we interviewed. A lot of people want this job.
There's Rooney. I mean, look, he's with Vance Joseph, with Raheem Morris. You know, that's going to satisfy the Rooney rule.
But I'm all about that.
And that's fine. But I do think that he might look at Raheem Morris as, you know, defensive coordinator for his potential coach. I mean, that's a smart thing to do. If you see somebody and you're like, hey, you know, it's up to you. You're the head coach. Because I think he did actually say that. He's like, look, I'm going to leave that up to the coach. I think it was the Bones question. But they're keeping all the assistants under contract right now. I'm going to let the new coach decide, which is exactly what you should do.
Yeah, that's fine. Nothing's new here.
No.
We're not reinventing the wheel for the Tennessee Titans in their search for a head coach. Just get it right. That's it.
There's something I don't want to spend a ton of time on, but we are entering lion season, and I'm pretty sure I heard a big one today from Mike Borgonzi. We'll talk about it coming up next. Tim Hasselbeck going to join us at 1 o'clock today. Chasing Big Joe.
Hold on. We got to do our question of the day.
Chasing Big Joe. Question of the day presented by Aries Tactical. Your safety, your skill, your Aries Tactical, Joe.
All these candidates come into town. If you could ask them one question, non-football, what would you ask? Here's what I would ask. Give me a movie that made you cry. You ask one question, non-football. That's our question of the day.
Do you hit or stay on 16?
Love it. Absolutely love it. That's great. That's a great question.
Because really, there's one answer for me if I'm hiring the head coach.
I love that. Yeah.
Do you hit or stay on 16?
It could be anything. Non-football, non-sports. Dr. Crane, you got one for us?
Do you put cheese on seafood. You put cheese on seafood because that's taboo. You don't do that.
Huh.
Okay. If you do that, you're looked at as a fool. Seriously.
Really?
Yeah. You're looked at as a fool or just like a somebody fool. That's trying to cover up the seafood taste?
No, a fool. Okay. It's not a good thing to do.
Okay. Right. There is no right answer, but I like it.
It's like
okay.
A part of the Bible. Yeah. Don't do that.
That's fair. All right. That's fair.
I love it. That's a question. Non-football question for these candidates.
615-737-1025, our phone and text line, driven by WilsonCountyHoney.com. It's Chasing Big Joe on this Tuesday, 1025 The Game.
Predicated on obviously building around Cam. Does Will Levis still have a role on this team in 2026?
He does, yeah. I talked with Will just yesterday before he left, and I've stayed in communication with him during his rehab. No, he's looking forward to getting back in here with the team.
Is he healthy?
He's doing well. Yeah, he is healthy.
That was Mike Borgonzi. When asked about Will Levis, in which I say a word I can't say on the air, I think BS. I don't think he has a role on this team. I don't think he'll be on this team.
Is he still under contract, I think?
Yeah. I don't think he'll be here.
I'd use him. Trade bait, man. Give him to the
preseason. That's what I'm saying. But
I think
you try and trade him, see if you can get a pick out of it, what have you. But I don't feel like he's got a future here. They're going with Cam Ward. They're rolling with Cam Ward. They feel like they got the guy in Cam Ward, and they should.
That's fine. But I would use pick. Levis for competition, air quotes, and then trade him during the preseason. Get some value for him.
That's fine. But I just like to say he has a future, I mean, what is that future? The backup?
Do you not have a future?
Right now I do. I don't know.
Yeah, you do. You have a future.
Okay.
We all got a future, man.
Thank you.
Tomorrow's not promised. Today is. You got today. Make the most out of today.
That is true. 615-737-1025. Let's see. Wes says, Wes is arguing with Nick and says a fish sandwich with cheese is absolutely acceptable.
I'm talking about on like pasta dishes. I'm sorry. I should have clarified that. Don't put cheese on a pasta dish that has a seafood on it.
So like not even Parmesan?
No. Hmm. If you have a pasta with shrimp, if you put cheese on it, the cook will take away your food.
So, you just taught me something. Yeah. I really didn't know that. Yeah, I don't eat a lot of seafood.
So what does that tell you if somebody does that?
Incompetency.
Is it because I'm asking questions.
I can give you a logical answer for this. Like if you put cheese on seafood, it takes away the flavor of the fish. That's the whole point.
Okay, so that's what I was getting at.
Like, put pepper on it, a little salt if you want. Don't put cheese.
You have sauce probably.
Yeah.
You know, some sort of sauce.
Yeah.
Okay.
Like a red sauce.
You legit. Now, what about like an Alfredo? Because that's kind of a cheesy.
Yeah, you just put chicken with it. You don't pair a seafood on there. If you do like some sort of shrimp Alfredo, that's a no-no.
Really?
Yeah.
I thought shrimp Alfredo was like a big thing.
No. That's an American thing. Just like French fries.
What? How did Americans change Italian food? We added meat, correct?
Correct. Because when you serve pasta with meatballs, it's pasta with meatballs. There's a side plate of meatballs.
Okay.
Not on them.
Mm-hmm. Not you need your own cooking show here on 102.5.
You really do. That'd be cool. Cooking with Nick.
Cookbook coming out soon.
Yeah,
let Nick cook.
But
no,
we're retiring.
That's
that
right.
Phrase.
We are
because I'll get fired with that title.
Anyway, luckily I'm the one that decides that.
So I love it, man.
We also asked our question of the day is what would you ask them non-football? Kenny in Spring Hill, I don't know if you meant ketchup or catsup, so we'll go with Mr. Burns. Do you put ketchup on hot dogs?
That's a good one.
Yeah.
That's a really good one. I want to know you beyond X's and O's, man.
5561, are there more doors or wheels in the world?
Brilliant. Brilliant. I love that. Thank you for that one.
Yeah.
More doors and wheels. Love it. Gosh.
Al, I would ask the candidates which way... which way do they hang their toilet paper, over or under? That would tell me all I need to know.
That would tell me a lot, right? Yeah. That would tell me a hell of a lot.
2104, grape or strawberry on your peanut butter sandwich?
Keep coming. I love this.
Let's see.
It's going to be hard to top yours. I mean, that's a really good one.
Let's see. People are... arguing with Dr. Crane. How do you like your steak? Only two accepted answers, rare or medium rare. I would agree with that.
Give me, all right, the 16. You hold or hit?
16?
Yeah.
I hit. Unless, like, I mean, there's a few exceptions, but most of the time I'm going to hit. Like, if they have a 10, I'm hitting.
Because you know that you're pretty much done.
Yeah. If they got a bus card, I'll probably sit on it. But if it's a 10... I'll hit.
Remember, fortune favors the bold.
Indeed it does. 615-737. Andrew in Dover. Were Rachel and Ross on a break? It's a great one.
Oh, my God. And what if you got an answer? Like, he's like, well, you know, I think they're on a break, right? That would be so great.
That would be.
God, I love it. Our audience, you guys are fantastic. Thank you.
Thank you. Are you just scrolling over there? What are you doing?
I've got a little incident I'm trying to take care of here right now. But okay. I'm good. But I'm good. Right.
That's fine.
I'm fine. I'm going to read them off. We're good.
Well, no, that was what we had. Let's hear more from Mike Borgonzi and his presser this morning. Relying on question 9, Dr. Crane, relying on his experience in the search.
Do you have any role in hiring Andy in Kansas City or any of the searches that happened?
I was a pro scout then, so I had no.
So what experience and who will you rely on in this?
Good question. You know, I've had a lot of mentors in the league that I've talked to. And you know, going through that process and how they came to that decision to hire that person. So, like I said, it's not only me, though. You know, it's Chad, the people in the search committee, it's Dave, it's Reggie, guys that have been through it before, too. So you certainly lean on that, on those mentors, in terms of how do you make the best decision for the team.
That was Mike Borgonzi this morning.
All right. Well, McKenzie is a Tennessee guy, by the way.
Yep.
Look, you got to have people to talk to. You got to have people to bounce things off. So if you can't just go in there by yourself and think you're going to get it done. But I liked who we just mentioned there. McKenzie's got great knowledge of football. So we will see. I think he's got his guy in mind. I think he's just satisfying a lot of this other stuff to say, you know, we did this exhaustive search and we came down to Matt. And I just think it's all conjecture. It's all PR, man, that, you know, we interviewed 13 guys. People wanted this job. We interviewed all these different people. But at the end of the day, we had Matt Nagy. And I just think you're going through all this river and you just, you know, remember the shortest direction between two points is a straight line.
Yeah.
Just go straight to Nagy.
Okay. If you think he's the guy, then why not?
I just think that they have a relationship. If for a huge job like this, I'm not hiring somebody I don't know.
Sure.
That's my thing. I'm not hiring somebody I don't know.
615-737-1025. We'll talk to Tim Hasselbeck at the top of the hour. Jason Big Joe, 1025, the game.
Well, that's certainly the goal. Anytime anybody, you know, gets in front of a microphone, we're representing Amy in this organization. So, and to your other point, We've done a lot of work here on these candidates, and we intend to bring in the right coach for this team long term. That's going to work with us to grow this team, to get it better, to really instill a culture here. That's what we need, Paul. We need a leader that's going to show up here every day here to work and really just instill that belief. Instill the attention to detail, the accountability piece that we need here, and the unity piece to bring everything together here in this organization. So I do feel really good about the process that we've gone through to identify some of these candidates, and that's the goal. That's the intention, you know, to get a head coach in here that's going to be here for the long term and to win a lot of games.
That was Mike Borgonzi earlier today on what he's looking for in a candidate to be the new head coach of the Tennessee Titans. He will lead the search. It's up to him to get it done. And right now, until he gives me a reason not to, I trust him to do it right.
Sure. I mean, I'm looking at his resume. I mean, he was the Chiefs. There's only other team he was with, but, you know, he was wearing the bad times for the Chiefs. He was the good times for the Chiefs. Director of pro scouting, director of player personnel, director of football operations, I mean, assistant general manager. So he knows. I mean, he knows football. So just leave him alone, Amy, and let him do his job and get it done and then see what he could do. But, again, I think the reliability, the comfortability factor in all this is important. And, look, if you hire Matt Nagy, that's fine. There's ones out there I've seen, like, don't hire him. No coach is going to come in 100%. We love you. Oh, my gosh. You got the great – it's going to 50-50. They're going to like him. They're not going to like him. When Andy Reid went to the Chiefs, the knock was, can't win the Super Bowl. You can't get there. You win the one – you've been to all these championship games, but you only won one to get to the Super Bowl. Why are you hiring Andy Reid? He's over. It's done. And then he goes to Kansas City and look what he's done there. It's a matter of getting the right quarterback, the right pieces around, and you build upon it. Nothing is going to be 100%. Yeah, we got our guy. People are still going to yelp and moan about it no matter what. But I think you got to work with Cam, right? You got to build around him, bring somebody in that can be him and build the offense to him. I don't think Callahan had a clue what he was doing, and I think Matt Nagy does.
Yeah. And look, and I think Mike Borgonzi does. And with all due respect, I don't think Chad Brinker did. I think that's why they have gone back to a traditional front office setup, and, you know, not just, hey, let's put a guy. I mean, was it he was a yes man? Was it he was just so much better than Rand that they just went that route? I mean, what was it?
Yeah, John sends me a note on our question of the day. It says, I would like to ask him, do you know how to drive a stick shift?
That's a good one.
Yeah. Do you know how? Something about
– Yeah, I mean
– Do you know how to drive a stick shift?
Not well, but yeah. I mean, I haven't had to do it much.
Dr. Crane, do you know how to drive a stick shift?
No, sir.
Wow.
I mean, okay. I know the gears. I know what to do. You got to put your foot on the clutch and so forth. But no, I have not physically done it.
What's wrong with that?
But I mean, that's not surprising. Like your generation, even my generation, they're just not really there anymore. So why would, I mean, you know, I learned because I had family members that had it.
Uh-huh.
But if I got in now and did it, I'd probably be fine, but I may burn the clutch out because I haven't done it in so long. But I know the basics of what to do. It just, there's been no reason. And anybody, here's the other thing. Anybody that comes at you like, how dare you not know how to drive a stick shift?
How dare you not?
Again, generational thing. How dare you not know how to use an iPhone? How dare you not know how to use...
You say that to me?
Well, how dare you?
Does Jakey baby know how to drive a stick shift? Or,
negatory.
Esteemed? You know, there are some places, in valet parking, it says if you have a stick shift, we can't park your car.
It's bad.
I knew nothing but how to drive a stick shift growing up.
It's money
I,
left nothing. On the table, honestly.
Right? Like my car I had in college, it had a first gear and a fourth gear. That second and third didn't exist because it was just awful. But I mean, I learned a lot with that car. So anyway, thanks Johnny for the question, Bubba. Appreciate it. And that is our question today. What's the one non-football question you ask all these candidates coming in?
Which character from Animal House would best represent your college days?
Who said that?
Randy. Also, another good one. Again, a generational thing, but who shot JR?
That's great, man. Oh, my goodness. Yes.
0862, what do you think about Kingsbury and Washington separating? I don't know. I mean, that's an interesting thing. I mean, I wouldn't hire him as a head coach. I think he's a really, really good coordinator, and he could probably be a head coach again in college, but I don't think he was.
Didn't he, when he got fired at Arizona, went on like a year-long sabbatical to Taiwan or Thailand? I wouldn't mind doing that.
Yeah, something like that.
Yeah, I just think sometimes you've had your chance and just want to call plays, but I think he wants to be a head coach in the NFL.
TD from Nashville says, clutching is like riding a bike. You never forget how. But again, I didn't do it regularly. Like, my first car was an automatic. I learned, but, you know, and I do pretty good on, you know. I might be better than I think I am because I've done it in a race car.
There you go.
You know, it's hard. The same. I mean,
my brother got me behind his stick shift truck. If you know, folks, where Spence Lane is, you get off on 40 and you go up the hill to Spence Lane, you go up the exit to get up there. He put me there, and I rolled backwards, and finally, you just rev that bad boy up, and you pop the clutch, and you go. But I think it's important that we know how to do that.
Yeah,
if zombies come after us, and I have a broken leg, and Dr. Crane, and all we have is a truck with a clutch to get away, we're dead.
If anyone on the face of this earth could figure it out within like 5 minutes, I think it's him.
Okay, he's not even listening to us anyway.
No, yeah, I heard
there he is.
Yeah, I heard him. I probably could figure it out.
Yeah, I mean, it's just like you listen to the engine. I mean, if you listen in your automatic car, you can hear it shift.
Yeah, but you're doing the shifting.
Sure, but you know when to shift. I think. I mean, I do.
So in a zombie attack, I'm dead because you.
No, not necessarily.
They don't wait 5 minutes for Nick to figure it out.
It's not going to take me 5 minutes.
They're kind of like knocking on the window. I'm like, Nick, go. Like, I don't.
Would you? Okay, so now we're doing this what if scenario. So let's say he's got a broken leg. Where am I? I'm dead, right?
You are dead. Okay, but I got your body.
Okay, cool. Okay. Thank you.
Yeah. Right. Resurge as a zombie. Joe.
So I'm in the. So I'm the. I'm dead in the.
I stabbed him twice.
Joe.
He's good. He's not coming back. But I got his body. I got to take it to his mom. We're good.
So Joe's in the front seat with a broken leg. He can't drive. Would you want him to kind of tell you what to do at first until you figured it out, or would you just want to figure it out?
If it's a truck bed, I think for the safety of everybody, Joe sits in the truck bed with...
No, no.
No, no. Let me finish.
Okay.
You sit in the truck bed with Chase's unfortunate dead body in this situation. open up that little window where you can kind of yell through the window, hey, how do you do this? How do you do that? Just in case if he wakes up and he bites you, you're infected. I don't want that to happen. And then I just slam on the brakes. You both get knocked out, and I just slam on the gas, and guess what happens? You guys fly out of the truck bed.
All right.
And then I'm scot-free.
All right, but I've stabbed him twice. He's not coming back at all.
Joe,
wait, I know this.
So you would just leave us?
No.
That's what it sounds like.
Hear me out. It's a zombie apocalypse, so you guys will turn into zombies.
I'm not. I haven't been bitten.
How do you not know if he wakes up after the two?
I've stabbed him. Look, you die once, he comes back to life, and I stab him again, and he's dead. I watch The Walking Dead every season. That's what happens.
I've never watched one episode.
So if I'm in the truck bed, zombie Chase can bite me.
Yes,
but
that's
not
exactly right.
But not him, but like a zombie like Chase could bite me. Okay. If I'm in the front seat, the window's up, they can't get me. I just need you to drive.
Okay, fine. You know
we
got
to go to Bellevue to drop his body off to his mom.
I have a better solution. Chase's body's in the truck bed, but you hold onto his hand through the window in the back, and you're inside the truck cabin. So
all right, I like that. I can do that.
We can do that.
Okay. I'd rather have a rope tied to his hand. That way I don't have to like stick my hand back out that way, so we can do that.
We can do that.
I just need you to drive.
No problem. We'll be fine.
You can get to Bellevue?
I don't know where this came from. But this is hilarious.
I think we need to bring back how to drive a stick shift. I think we need to.
They should in driving school.
In fact, I want to get
it. See, I don't even think we covered that in driving school. Because every car, the cars they had, I don't know if JJ or Hannah went through this, but I went to Brentwood Driving School, I think is what it was. And they had, like, on the passenger side, it had pedals and a steering wheel that could override the driver's seat so the instructor could make sure you're good, but it was all automatic.
Flag that and send it to Brentwood Driving School to get the together at Cromwell.com.
They don't even teach parallel parking anymore, from what I know of.
Really?
We don't teach parallel, because most cars will do it for you now. I was terrible at parallel parking, and then Greg Pogue taught me.
Just hit it and park, and then if they come out, I didn't do it.
Greg's way. No, he was actually very patient.
Okay, I could see that, but I think that the stick shift thing should come back. But also, I understand that. But listen, my driver's ed in the summer we took, all he did was practice his golf swing. That's all he did. We would go out and drive around McGavick, but he practiced his golf swing the entire time we took the class. That's it. Didn't learn anything. So God bless you, Brentwood Driving School.
0388, another question that they would ask the candidate or David in Paris, that I think you would appreciate. A little before my time, but I get the reference.
Okay.
Ginger or Marianne?
Which one was the redhead? Is that Ginger?
I think Ginger.
I don't know. Why do we look at him? He doesn't know. the redhead. Redheads are beautiful, are amazing, are wonderful. A little bit crazy, but that's all right. So Ginger.
6727 says, my dad's truck, the shifter was on the column, and I had to learn to drive on that.
I could not do that. I don't know how the column works.
Yeah, I don't know about that. 0749 says, I learned how to drive on a 1962 Ford Unibody, 3 on a tree.
I don't know what that means
I don't know what that means
We're
either.
Pretty ignorant, guys. 3 on a tree. Is that a still column thing? Like 1,
it might,
2, and 3?
It might be. 3 on the tree. A vehicle's 3-speed manual transmission with the gear selector mounted on the steering column.
Right? Okay, that's it. 3 on a tree then. All right. I couldn't. So do you still have a clutch?
I don't know.
Or are you just kind of like pull out and down, pull out and down?
Yes, requiring specific clutch and lever movements to shift between them.
Okay. I like that. Yeah, yep. We'll figure that out too as well.
So there you go.
Does your car have an ashtray?
Nope. I don't think I've ever my caddy had one.
Year was that? That
97.
Was, okay. Dr. Crane, does your Lexus got a...
It's not a Lexus. It's a Toyota, but yes, it does.
Well, it's same company. Yeah, same big brother.
Yeah, but that's the...
Does it have an ashtray?
It does.
Okay.
CD on the player? Front,
it does have a CD player. Well, not anymore. I took that out for the Apple CarPlay.
That's right. That's right.
But yeah, I still have the old radio for it.
Oh, that is so cool. Yeah. Ashtray, 3-speed on the column, man. I mean, this is...
It has an ashtray in each door on the back seat. There's one on the dash, and then there's one in the third row, too.
Cigarette lighter. Like an actual cigarette lighter.
I do, in the car I'm driving currently, yes.
Most cars have the the outlet.
Yep,
but where it would go, but not the actual cigarette lighter. But so yours has where you can actually push the thing in and it gets hot and it's
show does. Listen, my mother smoked with me in her belly.
So how many?
I mean, they didn't know any better.
So how many on the driver on the seats in your mom's car? How many rings were there from dropping the cigarette lighter?
Oh, 1,000, easily. All those, yeah. You plug it in, and that's. But you're right. There's still some in the car that have the plug because you got to.
I saw one. I saw one thing on Twitter one day that there was like a, I think it was a Ford back in the 50s or 60s that had a coffee maker.
The cars that had the telephone in them as well. Yeah.
Yeah, my grandfather had the car phone.
That's awesome.
Like the big ass
rotary
like,
phone.
No, but it was the one with the like the big one with the numbers on the front of it and like
you
had to be stopped to get good reception.
I love that, man.
It's just crazy. Crazy to think where we're at now.
Right.
We'll get back to your calls and texts coming up next. 615-737-1025. Chasing Big Joe, 1025 The Game.
What do you think about an alpha personality? How much is that something you want in that guy? It seems to go with the leader of men kind of.
I think that's gets a little overrated sometimes. I mean, leadership can come in a lot of different forms. You know, there's leaders that are more quiet, but they're demanding. The biggest thing is being demanding. You don't always have to be heard, be a big alpha. It's just demanding things out of your players and staff. And then having a vision and, you know, having standards in the organization. You certainly don't have to be a big alpha personality. To do that.
What qualities you're looking for in this person?
Yeah, you know, that's a good question. It's a lot to do with leadership, Paul. You know, it's having a clear vision, having standards for what you do, and then, you know, having that person, you know, not be afraid of conflict in a negative way, but being able to hold people accountable is the biggest thing. Throughout the whole building, Paul, staff, players, and how do you do that? And that person ultimately has to connect everybody in the building too.
David Bowie. Mike Borgonzi earlier today at his press conference, they will begin the process of interviewing candidates. We the rumors out there, Matt Nagy, Steve Spagnuolo, obviously two guys he knows. So he's going to talk to them.
Sure.
People were kind of like, why would you talk to Spagnuolo? I'm like, he knows the guy. Why not? You get unlimited interviews. Why not?
Right. Raheem Morris.
Raheem Morris is one. Stefanski is one. I haven't seen McCarthy's name out there yet.
I've seen it nowhere.
Yeah.
So. Like, they did a list of candidates for the Giants. Nowhere. I think Mike Kafka gets that job. I just think that's somebody.
Well, I want to ask Tim about that because I thought it was interesting, Adam, bringing him up as a potential play caller because there are reports that if Nagy got the job, he would not call his own plays. He would have a play caller. And so could, you know, is Mike Kafka one of those guys that, you know, he's interviewed here before. I think he interviewed when Callahan got the job. So, you know, is that somebody you look at as the offensive coordinator and a play caller, former quarterback, to work with Cam Ward, or like you said, does he end up keeping the Giants' job? And
I still would love to know what made her pull the trigger on Callahan. What did he do? What did he say? What did he present?
Well, I look.
He was anti-Vrabel.
No. Oh, to hire him?
He was a 180 of Vrabel. Was that it?
He's
not going to rock the boat. Pleasant around the office.
I think he was a 180 of Vrabel. I think he was around the league. People said he was a quarterback guru. And I think that and look, I other people have been guilty of this too. Fell in love with the fact that, oh, he worked with Manning. He worked with Burrow. He worked with Stafford. He worked with who else?
Derek Carr.
Yeah, he's worked with all these quarterbacks. And so, oh, he'll be good for Levis.
So what did we learn from the Callahan hiring?
I think that's a really good question, and I think the best way to put it is sometimes it just doesn't work.
Right?
Sometimes a guy is just not meant to be a head coach.
Who dubbed him like, this guy's good?
I think the league.
guy, buddies around the league, because everybody's like, oh, he's
yeah.
No coach is going to talk bad about another. They're just not going to do it, even though they can't stand. Most of the coaches can't stand each other. So when they come out and say, oh, I like that guy and this guy, like, oh, that's an up-and-coming guy. It's an up-and-coming. That's the guy you need right there. And he was a disaster. He had no idea what to do, where to go, didn't even know what a catch was, had no stones to go for it.
He was just in over his head. At the end of the day, he was just in over his head.
And we got all, you know, infatuated with, oh, but he's bringing his dad in. I mean, that fixes the line right there. Hell, the line got worse when he was here.
Right.
So we have to learn from that mistake of hiring a Callahan going forward of like, here's what we can't do again. That's why I think a guy who's been through the fire is great. And that's why I'm all about Matt Nagy.
So do you view I'll give credit. Jared asked the question. Does he view this season as a failure? Because they fired the coach. They had 3 wins when he got in, and they had 3 wins this year.
Do you want my answer?
The answer is yes.
If you don't win the Super Bowl,
it's a failure.
Thank you.
Right.
Thank you.
So, I mean, that's what I'm saying. That's the point I'm trying to make.
Yes.
Is like there are 31 teams that I believe fail at the ultimate goal every year.
Thank you.
This team did not record wise get better. Now, I can show you. I bet if I set you down, and you know, some states might view this as a form of torture, so I won't do this. But I could make you watch all the Callahan games, and then I could make you watch all of the McCoy games, and I think you would see a difference. And that's even though they still finished 3-14, I think you do see some improvement at times, just not consistently.
That's a tough one for me because I still think they're terrible.
Both can be true. I think they are terrible. It was a bad it was a bad roster,
right?
But you know, even bad players can play above their abilities.
I just go. Chris Sanders and I talked about this Sunday on the show. I mean, they were driving to tie the Broncos in game one. They lost 20-12. And maybe had he not caught a boneheaded call, gone for it, and Calvin Ridley catches some passes, they might have knocked off the number one team in the AFC.
Yeah.
I know it's all hypothetical and a bunch of what-ifs, but they were there. Like, they were there. And it's crazy. Had they won that game, your situation, your season's different. Last year, had the Titans beat the Bears – and he doesn't do the flip six. It's just there are probably 4 or 5 plays a year, Chase, which could flip your entire season that go on. That's one of the few they had this year that could have done that. Once they lost the Broncos game, came back here, lost the next game, I guess it was to the Chargers.
Yeah, Rams. So here's the
Rams,
schedule.
Sorry.
They lost to Denver by 8. They lost to the Rams by 2 touchdowns.
Rams just wore them down.
They lost to the Colts by basically 2 touchdowns.
Remember the first play of that game? Was it the first play, the pick six?
Yep. They got blown out by the Texans, 26-0. They beat the Cardinals on a fluke. I mean.
It's a win.
Lost to the Raiders by 10. Callahan's out.
God, we were there, and that was so bad.
That was bad. Then Daddy comes home and whips that ass 31-13. they lose to the Colts 38-14 in week 8. Then things kind of start to go a little bit of a different direction. They played better against the Chargers, still lost 20 by a touchdown, but they had some moments.
Mm-hmm.
They had the off week, lost by 3 to Houston, lost by 6 to Seattle. Seattle might have been their best game.
Pretty good.
Even in a loss.
I think Seattle's playing like a JV game, yep. But still.
Got blown out by Jacksonville 25-3, put up 31 for the first time in forever against Cleveland and won that game. Still tried to let them come back and win, but won, found a way. Lost to the 49ers by 2 touchdowns, beat Kansas City that was completely depleted 26-9, blew a lead against New Orleans, lost that game, and then got blown out.
Jackson was awful. I didn't mind the 49. I know you lost. I get that. I didn't mind the way they had effort in that game.
Yeah.
I'm a big effort guy.
I am too. So that
you lost a game.
Yeah.
Right? But you had effort there. I mean, Simmons was great in that game. Jacksonville, I don't even count Jacksonville because that was like, we're done with the season. Let's move on. do all that. So, yeah, there's some pieces here to build on. Now you've got the draft picks. You got to be smart in free agency and start building. There's examples that you have seen in the league to turn the team around. The Jags were not very good last year at all.
They're not.
It shows you what might be the best team in football.
There are two teams that are a prime example. If you get the coach right, you draft correctly, you have a quarterback, and then you supplement in free agency. You do all that right in an offseason, you can turn things around pretty quickly, and both of them are in the playoffs. Yep. They're the Jacksonville Jaguars, and they're the Chicago Bears.
Well, I'm going to throw Carolina a little bit in there with you. They're awful, Chase. Okay. Awful.
Carolina is where – if the Titans are where Carolina is or next year, then – I would say that is a – like, you'll take that. Like, yeah. That is a huge jump. But they're not quite there.
They're in the playoffs.
Yet. Right.
And they got a hell of a receiver, that dude from Arizona. I can't pronounce his name. He's
Tet
great.
Tet McMillan.
Is that his name?
Yeah. Well, okay. He's got a full name, but I go by Tet.
Yeah. Tet?
Yeah.
All right.
Tetarolian McMillan.
That Get one. You, Thank man. You.
Thank you.
I knew you could do it.
Doctor. Yeah, thank you.
Coming up next, Tim Hasselbeck going to join the show. Yes. With his thoughts on all of this. Chase and Big Joe, 102.5 The Game.